Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. Welcome to today's episode. I'm going to be talking about how to invest in high-ticket dropshipping businesses, how to buy high-ticket dropshipping stores, basically. And if it's your first time listening to the podcast, definitely leave a review if you like it. The reviews help the podcast spread and helps me help more people. So thank you for that. And also, if you haven't gotten our free niches list yet, a list of 99 profitable high-ticket dropshipping niches, you can go get it at ecommerceparadise.com/99niches. And we also have a supplier directory now for high-ticket dropshipping suppliers, premium USA-based suppliers. This is a directory you won't find anywhere else. So go to ecommerceparadise.com/supplier list and sign up for that directory today. If you're interested in buying a store, you can check out the E-Commerce Paradise Marketplace. It's at ecommerceparadise.com/marketplace. And we have starter stores for sale. We have turnkey stores, and we have businesses for sale. So check back over time, and things will be updated. And if you're on the email list, you'll get the updates every time a new store is added to the marketplace. If you're interested in listing a store on the marketplace, contact me at trevor@ecommerceparadise.com, and I can certainly help you to sell your store for a fee. All right, guys, so selling or buying a high-ticket dropshipping store is a really interesting process. Now, the only reason you'd want to actually buy a store as opposed to starting a new one is to skip past all the hard work of the startup. Right, stores take a long time to gain ground. It can take a while for a store to be built in the first place. It can take a while to get suppliers on board, especially have like 10, 20, 30 suppliers that you're working with. It can take time to upload all the suppliers' products into that store. It can take time to optimize those products, write, you know, really good custom descriptions, and make really good offers with free gifts and upgrades and upsells, add-ons, whatnot. And, it takes time for stores to be built. It can take up to 6 months to a year for stores to become profitable once they're built. It's just the way it is. It's like that with any business. And high-ticket dropshipping is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's something that takes a long time. So by buying a cash-flowing business, you're basically skipping past all that time that normally would take to start the store up. But you have to be careful when you're buying stores. You want to make sure that these stores are actually good, that they're built correctly, and that they actually have really good suppliers. You want to make sure the suppliers are decent. You want to make sure that the products aren't just going to, you know, run out of stock that the store is selling. The best stores out there have a really well-diversified portfolio of suppliers, best-selling products, categories of products, and really good diversified traffic sources as well. A lot of stores these days are built and run using Google Shopping. Okay, Google Shopping ads have proven to be the best way to get valuable leads, people that are ready and willing to purchase a product right here and now. And 80 to 20, you get most of your sales through Google Shopping. It's just amazing, especially for high ticket products. Okay, it may not be that way with low ticket products, but high ticket products specifically, Google Shopping works great. And we have a specific ad campaign structure that works really good for high ticket dropshipping. So if you're going to go buy a business, you want to do enough due diligence. You want to make sure that, are they running Google ads or are they just relying on Facebook ads, or is it organic traffic? Where are they getting their sources from? You can ask the person who has a store to allow you to view their Google Analytics account. And then you can dive through analytics. You can see where all the traffic sources are, what products are being purchased. And a red flag right off the bat, if they don't have their analytics set up properly to show conversions and whatnot, don't even think about it. But they should have it set up so that it shows all the conversions and it shows the traffic sources. And you should be able to learn a lot from that. Now, if you ask for Shopify analytics, if they're using Shopify, that's another great way to dive into the customer base and the best-selling products and to kind of verify what Google Analytics shows and also get an idea of what the return rate is, what the order cancellation rate and stuff like that. There's a lot of things you can also learn, about a business through getting their customer list. So, the owner of the store may or may not be willing to give you these things without an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, or without some sort of a deposit up front, depending on how, really cash flowing the business is, how profitable it is. But they may also be willing. It really just depends on that person. So expect that to happen sometimes. If you go through a broker, oftentimes they'll require an NDA or some sort of a deposit up front. Okay. And we do a similar thing if we're listing a site that's not ours, we're going to require an NDA on our marketplace. A site that's ours though, I don't necessarily require an NDA if I trust the person, but we do have to have a meeting first over the phone. So buying a website, you can check out all these different things and make sure it's actually a really good investment. And then look at the ratio of, like, you know, sales to multiple. So, and, you know, net profit to the multiple that they're asking for. So usually what we do is we, you know, when we sell a store, it's like somewhere between 2 and 3x, but oftentimes it might be lower. You know, it really just depends on how solid the suppliers are, how solid the products are, how solid the traffic sources are, how solid the store is, and many different, you know, factors as well built into that. So expect to run into maybe 2x yearly net profit multiples. And, you know, on that same thread, if the store hasn't been around for a year yet, it's not going to go for that high of a multiple, okay? Stores need to have at least 1, 2, maybe 3 years of history in order to get a high enough multiple, like 2x or 3x. Okay, if it's only got a year or even like a year and a half, it could go as low as like 18, 20, 24x multiple, okay? And that's okay. When you're buying a website, the first thing you should do is talk about all the possible potential problems that you might encounter by investing in the store. And if the, you know, person has a good answer, that's great, but you can still bring that up on the final negotiations and negotiate the multiple down, the price of the website. Okay. And, you know, you can start low and they'll meet you hopefully somewhere in the middle, or they might not, but that's how you should negotiate. Negotiate based on what you think that the site is worth if that person had no other choice and just had to sell it right away. Okay. And then work with them to bring that price down a little bit. Think about it like you're buying and selling real estate. It's kind of the same process. You want to look at other stores that are in the same niche and how good they are compared to that. Okay. And, you know, where that is, and use that as sort of like a guiding thing. Like, okay, where is the store as opposed to all these other stores? Do you think it's going to be a market leader in the future? How much work is that going to take to get it there? And with that, is it even possible to get there? Okay. So every niche is different. Every industry is different. Every supplier is different. And so you have to really do a lot of research and some, you know, important decision making in order to decide what store is right for you to buy. But here's the thing about niche selection is that you really just want to make sure that the industry has enough room for growth and the store has enough room that's primed for growth and that the history that you're buying it at is right for the multiple, okay? If you think it's overpriced, bid lower. If you think it's underpriced, you know, take advantage. So it's up to you, but buying a website definitely can get you past all of the upstart stuff and get you, you know, ready and primed for growth, you know? So let's just say if a website's making like $1,000 a month and it's been around for, you know, a year or so, you might give it like a 16 or 18x multiple, okay? And buy it for maybe $16,000 or $18,000. But if the website's making $2,000 a month and it's been around for 1 or 2 years, then it probably will get somewhere between 20 to 24 multiple. And, you know, so then it's going to be worth $40,000 to, you know, $50,000 or more. And if the website's making 3-5k a month on average, and, you know, it's had solid months for a long time, you know, it's had 3 to 5 years of history, it could go for like 32, 36x multiple, okay? You'll pay quite a bit more for those stores. But, you know, if it's within your budget, those kinds of stores are definitely the best to buy because they have such a solid history. And if you have less of a budget, you're going to get a store without as solid of a history. And, you know, you just have to look for the best deals out there and negotiate the price down, okay? And ask as many questions as you can, make sure it's a good investment to make. So those are the kind of things that I do when I'm buying a store, and those are definitely the kind of things that you should do when you're buying a store. And also, I want to make this point really clear, is that every store that you buy, especially with this business model, high ticket dropshipping on Shopify using Google Ads, okay, it's going to be a lot of time. It's going to take you a lot of time in order to grow that business, okay? Even if it comes with a VA, you know, and things are done, it's not going to necessarily grow unless you're working to grow it. Okay. So if you already have a team of VAs and you have a couple of stores or maybe 3 or 4 stores, and you're ready to put another asset into that portfolio and onboard them to your team, go for it. I think that's the best place to be. The worst place to be is if you have one store already and you have maybe one VA, or you don't have any VAs and you're thinking about getting another store. Okay. In that case, it's probably a bad idea, because every store is like a job, okay? You really have to hire a VA to manage a store full-time. And ideally, you're going to hire 2 VAs. One VA to do all the emergency stuff and another VA to do all the store updating, okay? Because one VA can't do both. Once volume picks up, it's really difficult. And I go into more of that in my outsourcing trainings. But focus on sustainable growth by team management and team hiring and team building. Okay, and do that first before you start investing in stores, because if you start investing in stores, you might buy an asset and then realize you just can't even grow it, much less manage it, and you end up, you know, shutting it down because you're just burnt out. Maybe also a bad idea is to buy a store and then bring all your knowledge and experience from a different business model into this one and trying to make it work on that business model. That's really bad. I've seen that so many times where people, like, they have prior experience in Amazon FBA, they have prior experience in print on demand, and they take the experience that they had in those other business models and apply it towards high ticket drop shipping, and it really just doesn't work. Okay, it's a different model. It just takes different marketing stuff, and it takes, you know, time and attention spent on different things. Amazon FBA, for instance, Amazon handles the website. You just handle the product description and the fulfillment, okay? Well, they fulfill for you, but you do the customer service. And that's the beauty of it, is that Amazon handles the website and the marketing and the sales, okay? With high-ticket dropshipping, you have to handle the website, the marketing, and the sales. So it's a whole lot more work beyond what you would do with Amazon FBA, okay? Amazon FBA, you're more creating the product. You're the product creator, and then you create a product listing, and then you do customer service. So Amazon takes off quite a bit of work from your hands, but, you know, they take some profit as well. That's the biggest issue. Print on demand is another thing where you have interest-based stuff, okay? It's not the same as high-ticket dropshipping. You're driving traffic with Facebook ads, not Google Shopping ads usually. And so you cannot take experience and apply it to a new store. You know, I've sold stores in the past, and the new owners, they took all the apps off, and they took all the conversion optimization features off, and, you know, they drove traffic a different way entirely, and then the store never worked, and they ended up shutting it down. It's the strangest thing. I've seen that a few times. Just don't do that. Okay, it's a big mistake. I've seen that happen before. And it's a really good idea just to, you know, really train yourself on this model. Now, if you go to ecommerceparadise.com and you purchase a starter store, a turnkey store, or a business for sale, or if you just want to get the training, but I include my masterclass with the store. So what I do is I go into my Teachable account. I film trainings for my virtual assistants on how to manage my store. And then I put them in that Teachable account, which is in the High Ticket Dropshipping Masterclass. So you guys will have access to all that training once you're in there. And the training is the same training I give them. So you get to see my stores and everything, which is kind of cool. Something that no other content creator really does. They might say they do and they kind of don't. So I actually do it, and you can go and check out everything and see how the processes work. And I think it's really valuable stuff because you'll actually see real world how you do stuff. You know, that's really important. So you, in order to get the training possible, you have to spend time learning. Spending time learning is very, very difficult if you don't already do it a lot. But once you start doing it, it's quite easy, and it's actually really fun. The one thing I can suggest, always take notes on what you learn, okay? Have a notepad. The act of writing down helps you remember stuff, okay? So remember, as an investor, okay, you're always going to be learning. You can never stop learning as an investor. You have to keep learning, especially if you're investing in a new business model, or if you're even taking on a second store. You got to get better at what you're doing. Okay, you got to get better at it by scaling your mindset so that you can get to that next level in your business and scale your business with it. Okay, that's key. So, okay, guys, well, that's it. So if you're interested in buying a store, hit me up, trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. I can help you find one. I usually have quite a few for sale, and I definitely have starter stores and turnkey stores. And yeah, if you have any other questions, you know, you can email me anytime. It's fine. I personally reply to all my emails, trevor@ecommerceparadise.com. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, leave a review on the podcast on iTunes, ecommerceparadise.com/podcast. We'll take you right there. And every review helps us spread the word. Okay, guys, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next episode. Take care.